Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a loaded Monday live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and SF1. And 1 hour from right now, 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern, Colin Right, Colin Wrong, plenty of both. It is great to have you in. Joy on another eventful voyage around North America this weekend. She is back after a trip in Vegas, I'm sure. Did you gamble at all?
I didn't gamble a lot, but I did not win. So
great food city.
Yep, we went to SDK, which is always great. Very consistent.
Yes.
In the Cosmo, and yep. It was a great time.
You ever been to the Catch?
To Catch?
Catch.
Yes.
The Catch.
I haven't been to Catch in Vegas. I've been to Catch in L.A., though.
I love Catch.
Yes, it's a great restaurant.
That's fun. All right, let's start with this. There's been this feeling in the NBA with a lot of fans, and it's a real thing, that the only way to get a dynasty in this league or even win a championship is to attract superstars to your glamorous city. Miami's done it multiple times. Lakers have done it multiple times. And leaves a lot of people in the NBA feeling left out. Well, the Dallas Mavericks, and that's a big city too, and it's got some glamour, but they did it another way. They drafted Dirk Nowitzki from overseas, developed him, and then eventually surrounded him for 1 year with all the right pieces, and they won a title, proving you can do it that way too. But that felt like sort of a one-off, right? And then there's Milwaukee. And they're doing it the Dallas way, too. Find Giannis, be patient, loyal, develop, get the right coach, and add some pieces, B-plus pieces that anybody could get. You know, Portland could get a P.J. Tucker. Memphis could get a Drew Holiday, Bobby Portis. The difference with Milwaukee, though, is this the new dynasty? And I know it sounds crazy, but to be a dynasty, you have to get to the finals every year. Look at the East this morning. Boston feels like they're in a rebuild, right? Philadelphia, you saw the stories last week. They're breaking up the band. Simmons and Embiid will be no longer. Miami, lightning in a bottle last year, not really close. Here you have Giannis, a defensive player of the year, a two-time MVP, and probably finals MVP by tomorrow night. And that's just entering the last 3 years into the data bank. And unlike old LeBron, Giannis is not brand-obsessed. Like old brittle KD, he's not a wanderer, nor is he bothered by social media or media criticism. Unlike increasingly old and increasingly brittle Kyrie, he's not strange. Young and healthy Giannis, let's play word association. Humble, grateful, healthy, loyal, focused. Is this the new dynasty? Is this the new face of the league? It would be a very different kind of superstar. Not brand obsessed. Not a wanderer, healthy every night, discourages ego. By the way, you can do it both ways, and I watch both ways. Been watching the NBA for 40 years. I love my Sonics back in the 70s. They were more like Milwaukee. And I love the Heatles. I love the Warriors. The Brooklyn Nets give us lots of content. But the Milwaukee way for most of this league is more relatable. Most cities aren't cool. Most fans aren't either, and they know it. Say what you will about LeBron James, but the NBA has lost over 50% of its ratings. I'm not one of them, but many of you are over the last 3 years. 50%. And in fact, when you dig deeper into the data, it indicates that local TV ratings are very strong in markets where teams draft and develop the players. There's a sense we're all in this together. We'll support you, Giannis, when you're not great. We're with you, Giannis, when you are. We're with you, Giannis, when you disappoint us the last 2 years, and we celebrate together by tomorrow night. Lakers ratings with LeBron and AD, Brooklyn's with KD, Harden, and Kyrie were in the dumper. Look it up. The Jazz weren't. The Bucks weren't. The Spurs weren't. The Warriors weren't. Maybe Giannis is exactly what the league needs. Maybe Milwaukee is what the league needs. And I am not anti-mobility. You've listened to me for years, many of you. I am pro-mobility in my own life. I celebrate LeBron going to Miami, back to Cleveland and L.A. But for a lot of fans, there's a disconnect. Not talking about brand, not mentally a wanderer, a little more loyal, discourages ego. Giannis had an interesting quote this past weekend, and I felt that it resonated with a lot of fans.
I figured out, like, a mindset to have that, like, when you focus on the past, that's your ego. I did this. We were able to beat this team 4-0. I did this in the past. I won that in the past. Mm-hmm. And when I focus on the future, it's my pride. Like, yeah, next game 5, I do this and this and this. Right. You know, I'm going down. That's your pride talk. Like, it doesn't happen. Like, you're right here. And I kind of like try to focus in the, you know, in the moment, in the present. And that's humility. That's being humble.
That could work too. Maybe that's time to run the league. Maybe this face and this personality, grateful and humble, there's room for that too. Interesting stuff. I want to shift to free throws. I picked Phoenix to win the series. And one of the reasons I picked Phoenix to win the series was free throws. I said, I think these two teams are going to be in close games. Phoenix is one of the best free throw shooting teams in the league. In Milwaukee, Giannis can't hit them. And that was one of the things I said last week. Like, these games are going to be 4- and 5-point games. I mean, even the other night, we felt Milwaukee kind of dominated it. Look at the final score. It's 4- or 5-point games. Tomorrow night, it's a 4- or 5-point spread. They're close games. So I said Phoenix hits free throws. Milwaukee star Giannis can't. And then Nick Wright, you know him. Nick Wright said something yesterday to me last night in a podcast. It was one of those. Nick said, free throws are overrated. What? Come on, that's outrageous. You should be suspended for that. I think he's right. The Lakers dynasty was built on Shaq. He couldn't hit free throws. The Spurs dynasty was built on Duncan. Nor could he. LeBron's number one liability the last 15 years, the free throw line. Sometimes he dreads it. And Giannis looks like he'll be the finals MVP. Dominating bigs get to the free throw line so often, increasingly in a very finesse league, that is efficiency the most important thing? Is it okay for Giannis to go 10 for 20 if DeAndre Ayton's only going 6 for 6? Giannis has 66 free throws in this series. He's made 39. Second is Devin Booker with 29. DeAndre Ayton's third with 17. Yes, Chris Paul's an unbelievable free throw shooter. But the Suns rely on jump shots and don't get to the line. They didn't all season. And Chris Paul is worn out by the physicality of Drew Holiday. He's not getting there either. That Giannis is so physical and so aggressive that he initiates so much contact. He just gets to the free throw line so often. So that if he shoots 58%, he's still hitting 12 to 13 a night out of 23. It trumps everybody else's 5 for 6 and 6 for 7. Nobody thinks McDonald's has the best burgers, but they make the most money on volume. It's the Walmart, the Target, the Costco strategy. We sell everything. buy it, from your bananas to your blouses to your shoes to your kayaks to your detergent. We sell everything. They don't maybe have your favorite detergent. It's not that perfect kayak or perfect pair of socks, but you can go there and you get everything. Everything about analytics is efficiency. That's what analytics are in baseball and football, a smarter way to do things. That's what technology largely is. We can do everything in our phone now. Don't always have to get into our car. We can DoorDash it and comes to our house. It's just easier and more efficient, and I don't have to go to the store. And I'm for efficiency too. But sometimes it just gets trumped by volume. Bigger, stronger, more sometimes trumps efficiency. Milwaukee's a bigger, older, stronger team. Giannis is simply longer, stronger, and more aggressive, and he doesn't shoot 80% at the free throw line, but he has lived there through the finals, and that has trumped his efficiency. They should win this title, and I believe they will tomorrow night. Props to Nick Wright, who blew my mind with that.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
When a season comes to its conclusion, you look back and think, oh, I should have seen it. Should have seen it coming. So I've liked, I bizarrely, joy is my witness, I picked Milwaukee to win it all. And the two reasons I picked Milwaukee to win it all months ago was we've dismissed them. There'll be no pressure. I believe that. And their players, look at their roster, don't get hurt. In a condensed season, everybody was falling apart. So this morning I could say, told you so. But I did pick Phoenix to win this series. And it's really interesting as I watch this come to a conclusion, and I do think Milwaukee wins convincingly tomorrow night. I think they're just leaning on Phoenix, and Phoenix is a small basketball team that looks tired and shot. But go back to every Suns series. They went up on the Lakers 1-0. They went up on Denver 4-0. They swept them. They went up on the Clippers 2-0, and they went up on the Bucks 2-0. Interesting, all four series. Look at the last three series for the Bucks. They fell behind to Brooklyn, 0-2. They fell behind, remember, Trae Young, big night, 0-1 to Atlanta. They fell behind to Phoenix, 0-2. And it looks like they're going to win all of them. Now, why would that be? Well, Phoenix, very young, very athletic, very up-tempo, very fast, jumps on you. It takes a game to sort of recalibrate. They also tend to play at home. They played at home in all those games. They're great at home. And they came into every series the more rested team. In a condensed season, that matters. How about the Bucks? Well, the Bucks are an old team. They're a veteran team. They're a team built on size and power and strength. It doesn't blow you away. But over the course of a series, Atlanta, Brooklyn, the Suns, we've seen the same thing. They just dominate you on the glass. They beat you up physically. And when you look at this series, Chris Paul looks every day of 36 years old. DeAndre Ayton is just exhausted. He feels like he's on an island fighting off all their bigs. Brooke Lopez and Bobby Portis and Giannis. And Devin Booker is just trying to save everybody and trying to score 45 a night. Are the Suns essentially the Miami Heat of last year? One star, Jimmy Butler, Chris Paul, surrounded by a bunch of really talented young guys, playing with a ton of energy. They jump on leads with teams, up-tempo, a lot of jumpers, rely on them. And then in the end, the Lakers, who had size and LeBron and Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee and Anthony Davis, lean on the kids. The adults lean on the kids and wear them out, because that's what I'm seeing now. What we know about the NBA, the grown-ups beat the kids, even when the kids take a series lead and even when the kids are really talented. I mean, you go look right now at the size of Milwaukee. They are, per player, 2 inches taller and 25 pounds heavier per player on average. That's what the Lakers were last year against Miami. By the way, the previous year, Toronto, Serge Ibaka, Mark Eaton, Pascal Siakam, Kawhi Leonard, big physical, Mark Gasol, big, powerful, physical teams. Don't necessarily shoot the three great, leaning on a finals opponent over the course of four games and five games and six games. The adults, the bigger, stronger, older adults, wear out the kids. Mark Gasol, Pascal Siakam, Serge Ibaka, Kawhi Leonard. They did it to the NBA 3 years ago in Toronto. Lakers did it last year. Bucks are doing it this year.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it. You listen to it. I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I want to talk about the Michael Jordan thing. So LeBron James has gone out and made I don't think the world was clamoring for Space Jam 2. The first one made about 40, 50 million, and that was Michael. But it does show something. I've been very pro-LeBron. I know his friends. I'm a huge fan of Rich Paul and Mav Carter. I know those guys. I like him. I like the branding. I like his story. I like everything about him. But it's pretty remarkable that Michael Jordan has not played basketball in 18 years and has been out of his prime, the zenith of it, for 25. His shoes still outsell LeBron. His movie's better than LeBron. And his documentary essentially was the talk of America in sports. Think about his documentary. His documentary, so this is old video we've already seen, averaged 5.6 million viewers per episode. That's more people that watch the Suns-Lakers average game. 25-year-old footage on Michael Jordan. On Netflix, Netflix ran The Last Dance. It got 25 million viewers. That is three times what the NBA Finals today are averaging. I always said this about Michael Jordan. He was the trifecta. He was the best player. He was kind of the best looking player. And he was the most glamorous. Only Muhammad Ali has had that. I mean, when Muhammad Ali was coming up, he looked like a model. He fought like a superstar. And he was funny. It's like, time out. He did poems and stuff. He was doing lyrical stuff and poems and stuff. You're like, time out. That's what like people that have a microphone on stage do. You can't do that. He was doing it constantly. Michael, there's nothing like Michael except Ali. And there's nothing like Ali except Michael. Now, the difference is one was very political and one was sort of anti-political. You know, Michael wanted to stay out of that stuff, right? Like, you know, Republicans buy sneakers too, I think was what he said. But there was also something about Michael that I very few athletes have had. Every athlete wants to be cool. Joe Namath was cool. Michael Jordan was cool. Derek Jeter was cool. A lot of guys want to be cool. I think LeBron would kind of like to be, because I think all athletes kind of want to be cool. But Michael had something that I don't think LeBron's ever had, and that there was a coolness without trying with Michael Jordan that I don't think I've ever seen. I mean, even the late Muhammad Ali, you know, he knew what he was doing. I mean, he was really antagonizing Howard Cosell, and he was antagonizing the media, and he would come out with poems. But, I mean, it's remarkable to me that we are 25 years out of Michael Jordan's prime, and his documentary is getting three times the audience of the NBA Finals today. And by the way, it's been a good Finals. These games have been great. This has not been a bad, these are not blowout games. These are crazy, flawed teams, a young, exciting team out west, a Midwestern team which is inartistic and clunky but easy to root for. Right now, Michael Jordan's shoes this year will make five times as much as LeBron's shoes. I'm going to tell you, I always tell the story, I probably tell it two or three times a year. When Michael Jordan, when I was covering the NBA, I was like in Portland, Oregon, and it was the older Michael, you know. But when Michael would come to town And this was at the beginning of his career, the middle of his career, and at the end of his career. It was the lead story on your local news station. It wasn't a sports story. They would send me, the sports guy, out to lead the news. Michael Jordan was in town. And as great as LeBron is, and the movie's out, and he's got his shoes, he's got his pizza, and he's got, you know, he's got his, apparently he's got tequila now. Whatevs, I'm all for it. Mogul stage, I don't resent any of it. We will never, it's unparalleled. We will, listen, 25 years from now, we will not be talking about LeBron the way we are Michael Jordan. It's just unbelievable. As Space Jam comes out, it's unbelievable. LeBron's once again being compared to Michael. And people like Michael's version of the movie better than LeBron's. I mean, it's just nothing in my life ever been like it.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Colin was right where Colin was wrong. Brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Grilled portobello mushroom and Swiss. Fresh ingredients make it. Jersey Mike's, be a sub above. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
Well, we said all season long that Drew Holiday was one of the great acquisitions by any NBA team. Smart veteran, could give you points, plays defense, and boy, has he been a pickup. Last two games, he's had the key defensive play, that the alley-oop to Giannis. Remember the game previously, Chris Paul hits the floor, he picks it up. Game five, he had 13 assists, great defense, over 20 points. And he has worn down Chris Paul. He's been a great pickup for Milwaukee and a huge difference maker in this series.
Where Colin was wrong.
Well, I had Chris Paul before the series, I ranked the top 10 players in this series. I had Chris Paul number one, and his productivity has dropped off a cliff, mostly because a bigger, stronger Drew Holiday has worn him down. He has also been at times disengaged early in games, as if he's saving it for the fourth quarter. But make no doubt about it, Giannis would be the MVP today, and you could make an argument Chris Middleton or Booker would be number two.
Where Colin was right?
Well, we started preaching it last week. The Bucks' physicality, even though the series was tied, we said Milwaukee's bigger, and it's starting to wear down Phoenix. They look tired and fatigued. And we also said that age becomes a bigger factor in a series the longer it goes, because the series gets more situational. There's more pressure. And generally, younger NBA players shrink when they get tight, and older veterans don't. So we pointed out last week the physicality is starting to become the factor in the series.
Where Colin was wrong.
But I said a month ago the Western Conference Finals were the finals. Remember that? I said Suns-Clippers is the finals. Well, boy, was I wrong, because I think Milwaukee would beat both. You know, this is not the NCAA. If it was, Phoenix would be champs. It's not one game. It's not two. The reality with the NBA, refs, once you get to the conference finals and finals, let the fellas play. That's why the advantage is generally to older, more physical teams once you get to the conference finals, and that's what we have here.
Where Colin was right?
Well, when LeBron came to Los Angeles, of the four teams that he narrowed it down to, the Lakers were the least talented team. And I said, LeBron, Mr. Basketball-centric guy, has become a mogul. Basketball's 50%. Business is the other 50. And I get it. He had the money, he had the respect, and he had the rings. Space Jam, you saw him on the sidelines at Phoenix with his own brand of tequila under his leg. I do not begrudge LeBron at all. The bottom line is most of these great players, like Magic, like Michael especially, are underpaid for about 75% of their careers, right? Because they're better than anybody thinks they could possibly be in their mid to late 20s, Magic and MJ were. And then at the end, they're making business deals. And that's what LeBron's done. And he has a title. I don't think he's going to get a second. By the way, Don Cheadle is supposed to be great in that movie. Who do I say is the best actor in America, Joy?
Don Cheadle.
Don Cheadle. And if I met him, I would say, hi, Don Cheadle.
Where Colin was wrong.
Last week, 50-plus executives, coaches, and players voted on top 10 quarterbacks. I'll be damned, Dak is 7. I've never thought of Dak as a top 10 guy. I've always put him in kind of the 12, 13. He's better than Kirk Cousins. Not sure he's as good as Derek Carr. You know, kind of that 12, 13 space. He doesn't have a great arm. It's okay. He's athletic, but he's not like Kyler Murray athletic or, you know, Russell Wilson athletic. But you know what? I got to say it. Bottom line is the reason I have the Cowboys going to the playoffs this year is Dak. It ain't the defense. It's not the head coach. It's not that old offensive line. There's something to be said about being a quarterback is more than arm. It's about intangibles, intelligence, leadership, toughness, guile, and Dak got that stuff coming out his ears.
Where Colin was right.
I predicted that Damian Lillard, when the trade rumors came out last week, Damian Lillard would say it's not true, but he would keep the door open. Damian Lillard said it's not true, but he kept the door open. He said, essentially, he put the Blazers on the clock. This was to put pressure on the Blazers to make a move. Now, I do not know what move that would be. I think they could go to Philadelphia, get Ben Simmons. They'd have to give up C.J. McCollum and something else probably. But Dame did what we expected, which is he didn't want to take the glare away from the Olympics. He's not a selfish guy. He's got good self-awareness here. He's not going to take, as they say, the shade away from the Olympics. But he made it very clear, we got to get better. I don't have an interest being a one-and-done guy in the NBA playoffs.
Where Colin was right.
Ben Simmons officially is on the trade block. Daryl Morey, the GM, said a couple of weeks ago, and I gave myself a wrong, sky's the future. And I'm like, all right, I don't buy it for a second. Well, Sham Sharanya last week broke the story, somebody we trust implicitly, that yes, Philadelphia is engaging teams in Ben Simmons, which they should, by the way. Embiid and Ben Simmons don't work, and they don't like each other. And Ben Simmons does have value. I think on Golden State, he could be a really interesting piece. But we never bought into the, you know, Daryl Morey, he's part of our future. He shouldn't be part of your future. It doesn't work. It doesn't fit. He can't be on a team with a dominant big that sits in the lane. He needs it open because that's where he scores. Colin Wright, Colin Wrong on a Monday.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Cedric Ceballos is now joining us live. So let's go back. Let's go back. You played a couple years with Dirk Nowitzki. Let's go back, Cedric. You were more established. Your game was more refined at that time. Let's go back to Dirk. What do you recall about him? How raw was he?
Very raw, Kyle. I think the biggest thing about Dirk was his work ethic. I mean, a lot of pressure was put on him. I don't know if you guys remember, as soon as they drafted him, Milwaukee did, and they traded him for Robert Tractor Trailer to the Mavericks. Don Nelson Sr. stated that he's going to win Rookie of the Year. This kid is going to win Rookie of the Year, and he put a lot of pressure on the guy. So I think he came in like, wow, like, slow down. I don't even know if I really want to be here, you know, even though he got drafted. Then he started working every day. I'm a old school guy. I was brought up by the Magics and KJs and Barkley. So training and putting myself in a position to get better each time, that was something that a rebuilding organization as the Mavericks were at that time, they weren't a part of that. But I'm on one end. Dirk is on the other with Kiki Vandeweghe, with Dale Harris, with Donnie Nelson Jr., with Dirk's trainer and his teachers, and they're getting him better. Even though, you know, like certain nights we play a great Karl Malone, you know, a guy who's just going to pound Dirk and you know put him in the whirlwind. But he had to do all that work before the game. I mean, three workouts, and then you know sometimes Dirk would even go in and foul twice just so he'll be in foul trouble to get his rest, knowing that he got to go third and fourth quarter against a guy like Karl Malone.
You know, it's interesting. So same with Giannis, who's not the shooter. He's not the offensive player initially. Right. Dirk was, but he's a bigger, stronger body. He's a better defensive player. And, I mean, I said this morning, you can make an argument if he wins tomorrow night, in 3 years he's been an MVP twice, a defensive player of the year, and the finals MVP if he wins tomorrow night. Could I make the argument by tomorrow night, he's the face of the NBA? Giannis is.
It's going to be tough to call him the face of the NBA in Milwaukee. No disrespect to the Midwest there, but it's really hard to get him on every single channel and on the pictures. I mean, LeBron is still going to be that guy out there, even though at the age, the high 30s for him. I think it's a progression period. And I love the fact that he's not willing to leave to go get a bigger sneaker deal or be on camera all the time or being seen walking red carpets and all that stuff. It's just a hardworking guy. And a lot of people really don't understand the reasons of why he's want to stay. I think he's got a great deal with Milwaukee, a great relationship. I thought, you know, he's playing with his brother. Who doesn't want to, you know, be able to play with your brother on the same team? That's a bonus right there. And, you know, whether he's capable of being in the league or not, that has nothing to do with it. That's just that familiar face. And he's got a great team that they're building around him. I don't think the prediction of Giannis being as big as he is now, when they first drafted the guy, they really thought they had somebody young and athletic and really a great work ethic. But I think at progression, the way he has put himself on the upper echelon of being an MVP, being so humble, putting his team on his back when they need him, being a two-way player. People forget that about this guy. He's a great defender, and now he's adding another dimension to his game, which is offensive passing.
Yeah, no, there's no question. You can tell his work ethic. You can see it every year. To LeBron's credit, LeBron kept getting better every year. He came in, he wasn't very good defensively. Then he developed a three-point shot. Then he had a back-to-the-basket low post game that was exposed against Dallas in the finals. You know, yeah. It is interesting. You played in this league a long time, and you're a big body. You were a big, slender body in college. I watched you play live against UNLV. You were a slender body. You got bigger and stronger because you're doing NBA nutrition, NBA weight rooms for 8 or 9 years. And I watched this series. Phoenix looks so small. There are all these young guys. I feel bad for DeAndre Ayton. Go back to your career. Cedric, the refs swallow the whistles in conference finals and finals. They want the players to win it. I think that has been a huge bonus for Milwaukee in this finals.
Yeah, you know, those Fullerton days, a good thing the NCAA's changed the rules because I was starving most of those days. That's probably why I was so skinny. I didn't have no money to buy myself food. But I think that it does help out a physical team like Milwaukee. I talked earlier to you about losing a big man when they went down with the injury. This is huge because you don't have that replacement when Ayton comes in to get physical, to give up 5 or 6 fouls.
Right.
That'll wear Giannis down a little bit. That'll wear Lopez down a little bit. Those things can be detrimental. And then a lot of factor that everybody is really ignoring. Game 1, Game 2 that Phoenix won, Giannis was not healthy.
That's right.
He was not healthy. Once he got healthy and his mentality got aggressive with his knee, hyperextended knee, then he started just giving Phoenix Suns problems. And I think that's been the biggest turnaround after going down 2-0.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Cedric, now that you mentioned it, the healthier team has won almost every series. So Saric got hurt. And by the way, now, I'm not saying it would change the series, but he was a big body. So I had picked Milwaukee to win about 2 months ago. And the reason I said it was, I sound smart today, but I said all their stars, none of them get hurt. And in a condensed season, everybody's getting hurt. Well, isn't it ironic? And it's not a huge injury, but Saric is a body. He's a big and he's hurt. It's interesting with Phoenix. I could make the argument, I don't know if it would be a good one, they're a little like Miami. They're young, they have one star, but it's a little bit of a lightning in a bottle season. And I could make the argument with Phoenix. They were healthy all year, the guys all played together, but Chris Paul's getting older. Do you think, we know Milwaukee is going to be very good in the East next year, whether they win or not. But when you look at Phoenix, are they the Miami Heat, a one-and-done or lightning in a bottle, or do you think they're back next year battling for the finals?
Well, you have to go back to when you talked about the injuries first, Colin. You know, look at Phoenix. I mean, AD goes down with the Lakers.
Yeah.
You know, they win that series. And then they move on, to
Denver.
A Clipper team. Denver.
Jamal Murray.
Scott Murray out.
Yep.
You know, then Kawhi's out. You know, they advanced because of injuries. And now they've got themselves in a situation where they're injured. And I think they don't become a one-and-done team. It depends on their star, Devin Booker's emotion. If they lose tonight, or Game 7, and Devin Booker's emotions carry on into summer. It's going to be a short summer for him, and then on into the next season. I think they have a chance to get back. The emotions, what I mean is it going to hurt? Is he going to walk away with, I'm the next Kobe. I'm going to believe the press. I'm going to believe what everybody's saying, and I'm satisfied by scoring a couple 40-point games. I'm satisfied, but everybody knows that I'm dangerous and I'm that new dude. Or is he going to walk away like, yo, I got my ball stripped in game five. I can't rely on any other people to do this. I got to make sure my other counterparts are ready and their mentality is ready. I think that's going to be the difference. Miami didn't come back after Jimmy Butler's getting them to the finals. I think because, you know, the heroes and everybody else kind of read their press.
Yeah,
Charles
yeah.
Barkley said about our 93 team. After we went to the finals, we had three guys that opened restaurants. We had this. We had that. We had so many people that was like, hey, we're satisfied by being number two to Michael Jordan. That is, it kind of made the team a little detrimental. So I think that's what's going to happen. If Devin Booker's emotions are hurt to a point where he doesn't take, like Kobe didn't take time off. If you wanted to be the next Kobe, go right back into the lab, not only for yourself, but also for your teammates. Encourage them to get better. And I don't know if CP comes back, if he goes on an opportunity to chase a ring elsewhere, if he even comes back to Phoenix.
Yeah. Great stuff. I had no idea. So you guys got to the finals, lost to MJ, and three guys opened restaurants. Were any of the restaurants good?
Well, yeah, you know, Dan Marley's restaurants are still up and kicking and all around the valley. I don't think Frank's and Danny Ainge's are up anywhere, but yeah, it was a tough scenario.
Yeah, great seeing you, Cedric. I love having you on the show, man. Good luck.
Anytime.